Welcome to Making Your Miles Count Production, an educational program to all Canadian lease owner-operators with your host, Robert Scaper.
Robert Scaper here from Making Your Miles Count. Welcome to our podcast. We're going to do something very unusual that I didn't actually want to really do when I first started the podcast, and that is talk about current events. The Making Your Miles Count podcast is designed for lease owner operators in Canada, and it's designed on how to be an effective, thriving lease owner operator in Canada. And that and the information I provide has little or nothing to do with current events. So I didn't want to, you know, be a daily media mogul. I'm not looking for popularity and fame and stuff like that, like a lot of the media people are. I don't want people to recognize me that much because I'm really not that important. What's important to me is to help lease owner operators become more effective and thrive in their business. I'm going to not break a rule, but I'm going to do something that I didn't really intend to do, primarily because, well, you can't really get around this because it affects the independent operator industry significantly. The Trump tariffs, 25% on aluminum, 25% on steel, and 10% on oil. I'm actually a fairly decent fan of Donald Trump. I read all of his books, or a lot of his books, before he got into politics, so I know the kind of style that he is. I know a little bit of the history of some of the stuff that he has done. There's even a water well in here in Manitoba, not 80 kilometers from my home, where that Donald Trump tried to negotiate to take over and for Trump water. It was many years ago. The individual who dealt with Trump expressed his extreme frustration in dealing with Donald Trump taking over as well. Big words right at the beginning, and then dwindling all the way down to the point where he figured, forget it, and he walked away from the whole deal. And that is a very kind of a normal kind of a reaction for some of the things that that Trump has done in his past before he got into politics. He sort of talks a big talk right at the beginning, and he sort of shakes the trees, and he sees what situation, what opportunity comes across. And really, when it comes to politics and specifically tariffs, he's not doing anything different than he has done for the last 50 plus years in his business career, where basically he blasts into a situation, shakes everybody all up, and then he watches the reaction. And based on the reaction, he sees opportunities and he takes advantage of them. Now, one thing that United States has that Canada does not is a leader. Being that our prime minister is really not really our prime minister, he's stepping down, and now there's a leadership race and no election, but we are really a chicken without a head, and we are running around leaderless. And a lot of the provinces in Canada have sort of stepped up on this. For instance, Doug Ford in Ontario and Smith in Alberta, both very different approaches to it. But realistically, the shakeup, I originally, when he first came out with the threat of tariffs, his end goal was to get really good border control. I thought it was an extremely good stance, he shook Canada up. He said, look, you got to watch fentanyl and people crossing the borders and all sorts of that. Great point. And Canada should be doing that no matter who's in office in the United States. It's our borders, and we should be protecting our borders and the like. And And we have our own immigration problems because of the last individual who was in power, or I guess moderately still is. So it should have been a mutual understanding that we watch our borders. Now things have changed, and he is implementing 25% tariff on aluminum and 25% on steel and 10% on oil, or at least that's today's rendition. And that's one of the things that I'm not a big fan of. I don't want to keep tabs of what's going on a daily basis, because realistically, I'm here to help owner operators thrive and not keep up with politics. But in this case, if they put tariffs on the way he is stating right now, there's two parts to it. Number one, it will affect the trucking industry very significant. Actually, the trucking industry will be the front lines because, well, a couple of reasons. Trucking is based on volume, and if all of a sudden the volume drops, it makes a dramatic impact to our capacity. Right now, for the last 2 years, our freight rates are barely survivable right now. And all of a sudden, if our capacity rises like crazy because we suddenly don't have freight going south, that will affect your work. And realistically, you have to take a good solid look at what carrier you're on and what exactly you're hauling. If you're hauling steel and aluminum or oil products or anything like that, it will affect you sometimes immediately, sometimes delayed for a week or two, sometimes it could be delayed for 6 months. Depends entirely. There's far too many things unknown to figure out if it's going to be affecting anything immediately. So there's a lot of things at play here. And realistically, I say dig a hole, put a helmet on, and wait it out. Hopefully you're not too much in debt, so that you any dip in the volume of your miles suddenly creates a financial crisis for you. If you do, you probably should be talking to your financing company, and you have to work something through. How long this is going to take? It could take 2 hours, it could take 2 months, it could take a year, maybe even 2 years. There's a couple of things that are going on here. First of all, I'd like to make a statement about, even though I'm a big fan of Trump in many regards, in business as well as politics, actually, to some degree. Not all, I don't agree with everything, but politics in regards to making the best case for the United States. He wants America first. And I believe Canada should have Canada first. And realistically, that should be from the federal level and should be unified also from the provinces. But that being said, Canada produces the vast majority of the aluminum for the United States. And it does that because we have the abundance of electricity, and that electricity goes in the making of aluminum, and we can make aluminum cheaper because we have the resources here in Canada, typically the electricity. And that is why we can have a little bit of a competitive advantage. Now, when Trump says that they got to fix this $200 billion trade difference, I take very serious, I'm disappointed very much in Donald Trump's logic on this, business logic. We are not taking advantage of the United States by having a $200 billion, selling $200 billion more than we buy. We actually buy a huge amount of stuff. Almost all of the surplus that we sell to the United States is all tied to either oil, electricity, and electricity related products. Those are our competitive advantage because we have electricity. And I don't believe it's a good idea to go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump for the simple, even if we have the, I guess you would call it the ethical high ground. We can produce it cheaper, and that's just because of our geographical advantages. And also the fact that the United States consumes electricity at a phenomenal rate, and they are completely capped when it comes to their grid. They don't have extra power to spare for AI clearinghouse, like the for artificial intelligence use, as well as aluminum. And we have the excess power, but they don't. It is really bad logic to try and penalize somebody who's giving you a good deal when realistically you they should be working as a partner. It's a bad tactic. It shows, in my opinion, a little bit of ignorance, because if Donald Trump assumes that we can buy $200 billion worth of United States product to make it balance, is the real goal of fair trade an equal balance? They are a consumer society. All they do is they consume way more at this point in time than they can build. Well, they have to have negative imports, negative value in imports, their trade deficit. They have to, because they consume way more. Now, using that logic of having that fair trade is based on fair dollars is really bad logic, and it's not going to hold up long time. However, it will hold up for as long as Donald Trump needs to get whatever it is that he wants out of us. And going toe-to-toe with Donald Trump is going to be a lose-lose situation. They have 10 times the power at the minimum in their economy more than we do. We will be absolutely decimated before they will really feel any pain. And I know there's a lot of people saying, hey, you know, we'll just switch off the electricity to the northern states, and we'll do this and that, and all these other, we can sell our aluminum elsewhere, or whatever it is. Whatever the backlash, or whatever we're going to go toe-to-toe with them, they have much deeper pockets. They have much deeper suffering than we will ever be able to do. We are going to be financially devastated if we go toe-to-toe with this guy. What we need to do, first of all, is we need to get a leader, a real leader that will be able to find out what exactly it is they really want to negotiate. Unfortunately, at this point, because we don't really have a leader, we may not even know what it is that he wants. And that's a little bit of our problem. Our problem is our current liberal government has put this country in such a horrible state that we became unbelievably vulnerable to somebody who has the cojones, the balls to take advantage of us. Be it right or be it wrong, we are not prepared to go toe-to-toe with our government, with the U.S. government. And realistically, the sooner we realize it, the better we probably will be able to survive. There are some things that have been suggested. For instance, an economic union, which means that we would have the U.S. We would get rid of the Canadian dollar and use the U.S. currency and the like. I kind of doubt whether that's going to work out. There's no way that we're going to be the 51st state. The United States doesn't actually want that. They may want Alberta to be the 51st state, but that would absolutely devastate our country. In many ways, we would be split right in the middle, and we'd have to have a bridge from, well, probably it would be Alberta and Saskatchewan that would go, and you'd have to have a bridge from Manitoba to British Columbia, but it would be a horrible situation. And realistically, people in Ontario and Quebec, though, no matter how much they would hate it, they realistically, there's not much that they can actually do about it, other than try and keep the country together. We are in an incredibly vulnerable situation, like I said, because of our existing Liberal Party and how incredibly stubborn and arrogant Justin Trudeau has treated our country, our society, and the free will of elections. We should have had an election in fall of 2024. Never mind. Now they keep bumping it off into the future and getting every five minutes more that they can be in power. It's a terrible, terrible situation. I do not believe, I believe in having multiple parties. I believe there should be a conservative, liberal, NDP party that they should be working together. But right now, the entire Liberal Party should be completely removed, because they've been hijacked by radicals. And they should, even the board on the Liberal, federal Liberal, get them all out of there. Fill them up with actual liberals and not these radical liberal progressives or whatever you would want to call them. And it's not just that I would say that for just the federal Liberal as well. I live in Manitoba, and the Conservative Party in Manitoba are realistically, they're not conservatives. They are conservatives in name only. And I say the same thing for the Conservatives in Manitoba. Get everybody that's on the board out of there and do a clean sweep, and somebody who's actually conservative and would govern conservative whether they're elected or not. They are conservative in principle, not in some sort of name only. So you have liberals in true name, and actually they follow through in their liberal principles, but and conservatives in principles, and even NDP for in principle as well. Like Jack Layton was a principled NDP leader, and you knew what you were going to get from him because he followed the principles of what he believed in. Now, I didn't believe I wouldn't support him. I wouldn't vote for him, but I admire the man because he stood by his principles, and you knew what you were getting with him. But the Liberals, you don't, because they are not principled. They are only there to gain and keep power. And that's not good for the country. Obviously, we all, for the vast majority, know that. And whether it's Justin Trudeau or Carney or Freeland, it really doesn't make any difference. They're all of the same pot. They've all been squeezed out, And they are just there for power and control, and just the same radical stuff in there. They got to get the radicals out of the Liberal Party, and that takes a long time. It's amazing how much I've been around. Like, I'm in my 60s now. I've been around for many different changes of the guard, so to speak, from a political perspective. And looking back and wishing we had Jean Chrétien is something I thought I'd never say, but it's true. At least he was principled. He understood the policies, and he was somebody you could predict. You knew what you would get. Anyway, that being said, if you're a lease owner operator, take a look at what you're hauling. And ask yourself what effect these tariffs may have on you. And goodness sakes, I don't know what else to say other than buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. It may fix itself almost instantly, or it may drag out for 2 years before he gets what he wants. And he is in no hurry to fix Canada. I'll tell you that. He's going to be an extremely patient guy. There was somebody asked him in an interview about the Chinese tariffs, and what are you going to do? He says, I'm not in any kind of hurry at all. He says, well, let's see what happens, and that's exactly what he's going to be doing with Canada. He's going to just see what happens, and he can squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and hopefully we can get an election before we have no choice but to do whatever he bids. I believe Canada will always have our sovereignty, but a lot of our values may be crushed if we are not careful with dealing. We have to kiss the ring, and a lot of people may not like it, but I'm going to quote Justin Trudeau's father. He said this. He says, if you are in bed with an elephant, you don't sleep because all they have to do is roll over and you're dead. Well, right now we're way more than just in bed with an elephant. That elephant is dancing on the bed, and goodness sakes, we better get a guitar and start playing for him. We have to understand how non-powerful we really are. If we had a strong leader and someone who could really communicate with Trump, we would have a much better chance of negotiating something. But we don't. And we are being held hostage by the Liberal Party right now. And no matter what their logic in the next election is, you have to realize that they are not the party to do the negotiation with Trump. There is so little respect that Trump has for Trudeau, as well as Carney of Freeland. He knows them. He knows what they are, what they stand for, and realistically, we only have one option, and we have to make sure that. That the right party gets into power. All right. Other than that, I hate getting into politics, as this is not supposed to be designed for politics. But you have to understand, from a trucking perspective, the first we are on the front lines of any tariff battle, and we are going to have the casualties associated with a trade war, if there is a trade war, or a tariff war, I guess you would call it. War is a is an exaggerated word for it, but realistically, the struggle. It's a tariff struggle for sure. All right. Okay, other than that, have yourself as great a day as you can. I hate to pee in anyone's cornflakes, but other than that, have a great trip.
Thanks for stopping by Making Your Miles Count. For further Making Your Miles Count productions, call us at 877-987-9787 or download us at makingyourmilescount.com.